Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in New Rochelle, New York, earned a degree in history from Dartmouth, ordained a priest in 1984, and in 1998 he was awarded a doctorate in canon law from the Gregorian University in Rome. Since 2002, he's been the pastor of Holy Family Church on East 47th Street in Manhattan, New York, and regularly appears as one half of the Papal Posse on EWTN's The World. A prolific writer, his name, Father Gerald Murray. And I'm Jack Frazulla, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Frazulla. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Father Gerald Murray, New York City. He's one half of EWTN's The Papal Posse. Welcome back. It's been 3 years since we've had you, Father.
Hard to believe, Jack. Thanks so much for having me back. It's great to be with you.
I'd like to start by saying a huge thank you for all you do all over America with this world over, and your courage and how you say things in a respectful way.
Well, you're very kind. You know, as my parents taught me growing up, be a straight shooter, be respectful, polite, but always tell the truth. And that's what I try to do. And as a priest, you know, our goal is to guide souls. And thank you for the opportunity to be on your program today.
Well, speaking of guiding souls, as we get ready to celebrate Easter, can you lead us in an opening prayer tonight?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent into the world to redeem us, to save us, to give us the gift of eternal life. May we always follow him on the road to Calvary. And then may we always rise with him in your grace to live with you forever in heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You spoke about your parents. They were both lawyers, I believe.
That's right. I grew up in a legal household. My parents actually met at Fordham Law School. They were both class of 1958 from the law school. And yes, it was a household where, you know, let's say law and rational thinking and precision were always highly valued.
What, at the dinner table, what did mom and dad, were they teaching you how to be a canon lawyer? What did you talk about at the dinner table?
Well, the dinner table was good because, they were always insistent on manners. They were insistent on listening, that each one had listened to the other when he or she spoke. They did compel us not to just simply make statements, but rather to form arguments. So if you had a point of view or a perspective, you had to defend it. And parents, you know, they placed a great value on learning. So they were, you know, happy to see us doing our homework in the evening, and they helped us. Both my parents were very good at that, and I'm grateful for that. But yeah, the dinner table, the way to look at life is, of course, from a religious point of view, but also making use of reason and reasonable argumentation.
How was it you decided to become a priest and not a lawyer?
Well, I was intending to be a lawyer when I went to college, but that's where I felt the call from the Lord. We had a wonderful chaplain. I went to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, and I was there in Hanover, and the chaplain was named Father William Nolan. And he had been there many years at the Catholic Student Center at Dartmouth called Aquinas House. So, yeah, he used to pray for vocations and talk about it. And I remember one day he said to me, "Well, Jerry, who knows, the Lord may be calling you to become a priest." So the thought was in my mind, and I was encouraged, and by junior year, I decided I would go to the seminary, but I first finished my college degree, and that's exactly what happened.
In 84, you were ordained a priest and assigned to various parishes in the Bronx and Manhattan, and then in 1998, you got awarded a doctorate in canon law, and you had spent 4 years as a student in Rome when St. John Paul II was our Pope. Did you ever meet him?
I did meet our Holy Father John Paul II a few times in Rome, maybe two, three. Certainly two times I remember very well. I was with the students from the North American College, which is the American Seminary in Rome. And they would have the occasion to go to the Vatican Palace to be able to greet the Pope. The Pope would give a little talk. So I do remember those. That was very encouraging. He really was, you know, a towering figure and a man of, you know, great faith. And that was definitely the impression that we gained in his presence.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II, the Great?
That great question. One of the most important things I learned from him was courage, because he was courageous in, you know, all aspects of his life. As a young man, when the Nazis invaded, you know, he worked and kept doing underground seminary studies as a priest. The communists were there. He defended the Catholic Church against the Polish Communist Party. He was, you know, a great thinker. He defended the doctrine of the faith. He gave us the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is a great instrument for understanding and defending the faith. So courage in the face of adversity and opposition is one of the great lessons I learned from him.
You were awarded a doctorate in canon law in 98. As you know, I'm from the south side of Chicago. There were some canons there, and there were some lawyers there. But we didn't have any canon lawyer. What is a canon lawyer?
Well, that's a great question. Canon law is the law of the church. And because the word canon comes from Greek, it's a Greek word meaning rule. So really, when the canons meant the rules that the church came up with as time developed after the foundation of the church by Christ in Jerusalem. And these canons would be issued by popes, by councils, by bishops, and they were rules to guide the life of the church. And eventually, over the course of the centuries, there was a big body of law developed, and that was called canon law. So our goal in studying canon law is to understand the history of the laws of the church, which regulate everything from sacraments, such as marriage and the Holy Eucharist and confirmation, to church property, to the rights of the faithful, to church tribunals. You know, we learn about defending the faith against certain crimes, heresy and apostasy, things of this sort. So it's a very important aspect of church life. Most people don't know canon law because it's so particular, but every parish is touched by canon law. All of us are under that system of law and church.
We're talking to Father Gerald Murray. In addition to knowing canon law, he's fluent in Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese, Latin, and also New York Bronx as well. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, with Father Gerald Murray. From 1994 to 2005, he served in the U.S. Naval Reserve Chaplain Corps. Father, if you would, talk about that chapter of your life.
That was a wonderful chapter. You know, the military has its own chaplain corps, each of the service branches, and those priests provide religious service to our military members, and it guarantees the free exercise of religion according to our Constitution and recognizes the needs. You know, civilian priests could not really function effectively on naval ships or in war zones. We have specific training. We're integrated into the command structure within the military. And then through experience, you know, gain the confidence of service members. So in the Navy, we're privileged because we serve not only Navy, you know, sailors, officers, and enlisted, but also the Marines, the Coast Guard, and even merchant mariners, you know, the people who run the ships, commercial ships on the United States flag. So it's a big expanse of responsibility. And, you know, I stand in admiration of the young men and women who join the military and then, you know, dedicate part of their lives to it, or, in, you know, the case of people who are career, a significant part of their life, because they protect us and they represent really what America is all about. We're a country where we defend ourselves and our allies.
These young Americans that agree to serve our country so that we have freedom. What did they teach you in those 11 years, Father?
Well, they taught me that, you know, we are a very religious country, and there's a lot of respect. I hope that continues. They taught me that sacrifice is worth it. And they also taught me that gaining responsibility at a young age is a great maturing thing. You know, on Navy ships, you have young men and women in their 20s making significant decisions and carrying out very important tasks that in the business world might not be available to them. So it really is a great training ground. Yeah, I learned a lot from the military members. The Marines, you learn the value of discipline. You know, Marine Corps unit cannot work unless everyone is previously trained and honed on the Marine Corps way of doing things. And that I find that to be very useful in everyday life, because without discipline, things just kind of get haywire.
We're talking to Father Gerald Murray, who regularly appears as a commentator on EWTN, Fox News, and The Voice of America, and is a prolific writer. Since 2012, Father, you've been the pastor of Holy Family Church on East 47th Street, Manhattan, in the Turtle Bay neighborhood. Talk about that ministry.
Yes, my Archbishop, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, assigned me here. And it is a very interesting parish because the United Nations headquarters is located within the parish territory. So we're right near the East River at 42nd Street, and that's where the campus begins, and it extends all the way up to 48th Street. We're on 47th. So if you walk outside of my church and cross the street, you will come to the UN campus. And here we see, you know, following the Second World War, with so much destruction and violence, you know, the UN was founded in an attempt to make the world more secure, to avoid future conflicts, and to provide, you know, a peaceful way to resolve conflicts. The UN also does a lot of good in terms of relief efforts when there are natural disaster, famines, things of that sort. So the people who work at the UN, it's an interesting group. We have the permanent staff, many of whom are Catholic, and they come to daily mass. And then the ambassador corps, that varies. Like, you know, ambassadors, like ambassadors to countries, they're there for a few years, then they move on. They're junior staff similarly. So over time, you meet a variety of people, and you see how the Catholic faith has such influence throughout the world, which is a sign of God's providence.
Father Murray, you've been a salesman, and I might add a world-class salesman, for our Heavenly Father for 39 years. What's the biggest thing you've learned being a priest these past 39 years?
Being a priest means that you're basically trying to represent Jesus to the people of our generation. So I've learned that in order to do that effectively, I have to model my life on Christ. It's not so easy because I'm a sinner like everyone else. I'm ignorant in many ways. I have to keep learning. But I realized that, you know, God's plan for salvation depends on human agents cooperating with grace. And what a privilege it is to be that. So, you know, we use the expression St. Paul talked about us being ambassadors for Christ. And just as an ambassador, for instance, at the UN, doesn't give his own message, he conveys the message of his government. You know, my role as a priest is to bring the message of Christ, his consolation, his truth, to the people that I encounter.
Being a priest these last 39 years, you say Mass every day, at least once. So you've said Mass more than 14,500 times. When you lift that host and wine and say, this is my body, this is my Christ, my blood, what do you think, what do you say to yourself?
Well, I say what a privilege, because I remember as an altar boy watching the priest say those words and, you know, lift up the host and the chalice, and now that's me doing it. And I realize what a blessing and how, you know, wonderful God is, because he's given the church a sacrament, which really is, you know, the catechism says that the church is born of the Eucharist. You know, that's what unites us in Christ, Christ's body and blood given to us. So I'm now an agent of bringing people to Christ and feeding them with the divine grace of the sacrament. It's a great privilege, and it's a great responsibility. So I try to you know, do everything precisely with reverence and, you know, to increase my faith and my love in what I'm doing, because that's really the key to how we should approach God.
A little more than 3 months ago, on December 30th, 2022, we lost Pope Benedict XVI. He was a blessing. Talk about his legacy, Father.
What a wonderful gift Pope Benedict was to the Church. Like John Paul II, he was a courageous man. He was a defender of the faith. He had suffered under Nazism. His father was an anti-Nazi, his mother also. He was compelled by the unjust German law to be drafted into the German army and the Hitler Youth before that. And he, you know, got through that. He was then a seminarian, and, you know, it was difficult times after the end of the war in Germany, but he persevered. And as we know, brilliant man, theologian, bishop, worked in Rome as the top aide of St. John Paul II. He was a great writer, and when he became pope, it was a moment of continuity, we could say, because he was continuing St. John Paul II's legacy, which was to, you know, preach the faith and answer modern questions without changing the faith. So that really inspired me so much in his writings.
We're talking to Father Gerald Murray. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about the fact that yesterday we celebrated the anniversary of the greatest act of love of all time. Come on back and we'll tell you what it is. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasool. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Father Gerald Murray. And personally, I love and treasure, Father, being around you, listening to you, whether it's on TV, whatever, whenever I can. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jack. That's very kind. And I'm so glad I was able to meet you and happy to be on your program.
All right. Yesterday was Good Friday. The greatest act of love of all time was when Christ was on the cross for each of us. For each of us. Did Jesus, if there's a listener said tonight that says, Father, did Jesus really die for me?
I mean, Jack, that is the key to understanding what happened on Calvary, is to realize this was salvation offered to all, obtained for all, God's love poured out through this great act of self-sacrifice. And you know, Jesus had each one of us in mind on the cross, because as God, he knows all things, he knows us. And, you know, the priest in my college used to say the Lord, you know, looks up and down the avenues of history, past, present, and future. So, yeah, we're all part of that great act of love. So, yes, yesterday is called Good Friday precisely because salvation was won for us.
He's on the cross and he says, bless them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then the good thief talks to him, and he says, before the end of the day, you'll be with me in paradise. Talk about God's unbelievable grace and mercy.
Well, you know, we are sinners, and we have all sinned, but God doesn't hold that against us. He offers us loving forgiveness, and his kindness is endless, boundless. So the only way we lose God's grace or get distant from him is by our own action. So Lent, and now, as we just celebrated Good Friday yesterday, that's a period of time given by the Church precisely to recognize I am a sinner, I need God's forgiveness, and that forgiveness is bountiful and abundant. I simply have to turn to him for it. And the love that God has for us means that even after a whole lifetime of suffering, if we're faithful to him, we will have endless joy in heaven. So everything will turn out right in the world to come if we're faithful.
Tomorrow we celebrate Easter. What's the basic message of Easter, Father Murray?
I guess the basic message is life triumphs. In other words, God's life is eternal, and we are offered a share in that eternal life through the resurrection, through the death and resurrection of Christ. So sins are forgiven, and then the fruit of that forgiveness is this life, which is manifested in Christ's resurrection. And we too will be raised from dead on the last day. And we, if we are judged worthy by God, we will be with the sheep, not the goats. And the whole flock of sheep of the saved will be forever rejoicing in heaven. So that is, you know, that's the motivating thought that every Christian and hopefully every human being will have, that my time on earth is limited, but I know that there's something better awaiting me. And thanks to our divine Savior, that gift is on free offer for all those who turn to him.
We're talking to Father Gerald Murray. If you want to learn more, www.churchholyfamily.org. Father, Easter's a time of great joy or great sadness. What do you say to someone tonight whose heart is broken this evening?
Well, there is a lot of sorrow in the world, and that's one of the titles of the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows. You know, a Christian doesn't flee sorrow to try and pretend it doesn't exist. No, we recognize sorrow. But on the other hand, we don't give in to despair. So we say, Lord, I can't bear this sorrow. Please bear it for me. And he will. And we ask Our Lady to intercede for us, that just as when she considered, you know, the crucified body of her Lord, she had faith in God's goodness. And likewise, when we have our own difficulties or we lose a loved one or someone is sick, someone's in an accident, big disappointments in life, it's not a motive of disbelief. We should say, no, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I truly believe that you are with me in my troubles.
We're talking to Father Gerald Murray, who's a modern-day Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. I asked him a couple years ago to write his philosophy of life, and this is how he ended it. My philosophy of life is believe in God, love him above all else, obey his commandments, and love your neighbor as Jesus Christ loves us. Brief, concise, and you said it all right there. So,
well, thanks for reminding me of that. And I'm very happy because that's all stuff I got from the people who taught me, and they taught me well. And, you know, we both know that we are standing on the shoulders of giants, people who did great things, including teaching little kids to love the Lord.
All right. We're talking to Father Gerald Murray, who is a prolific writer, and his latest book is entitled Calming the Storm, Navigating the Crisis Facing the Catholic Church and Society. If we could talk about a couple chapters, if you will, okay?
Sure.
Well, you start, and you have the passage about when the apostles are in the boat, there's a great storm, you know? And they're getting ready to swallow it up, and Christ is asleep, and they wake him up, and he says, why are you afraid, O men of little faith? Father, today, the vast majority of people are saying, these are crazy times. I am afraid. This age of confusion. Talk about today.
Well, the age of confusion is largely based on a rebellion or rejection of God and his truth. And, you know, this is a problem throughout human history where people embrace bad ideas, bad ways of behaving. But in our own day, this has become ever more present in our society. And sad to say, even within the church. And that's one of the most troubling aspects of our current crisis in the church, that some bishops and cardinals are teaching things that are diametrically opposed to Christian truth. And this is causing great consternation because, you know, bishops take an oath when they're made bishop that they'll be faithful in teaching the doctrine of the church, but a number of them aren't doing that. And, you know, we talk about that in the book.
All right, Chapter 5, Standing Up for Truth in a Hostile Culture. How can each of us do that, Father?
Well, you know, be well-informed. And then when the challenges come up, respond rationally, reasonably, but also courageously, because many people deny truths of the faith or just truths of natural reason for different, you know, ends and results they seek. I mean, the greatest tragedy we've had in our country in my lifetime has been legalized abortion, and that's based on the falsehood that unborn children aren't human and don't deserve legal protection. Now, fortunately, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, but as we know, there's still many, many states in the U.S. where abortion is legal, so the fight goes on. But in areas such as the pro-life movement, we've learned lessons. you proclaim the truth, you try to convince people, you pray, and you work. And in the end, God is pleased with those efforts.
Father Gerald Murray, once or twice a month, on Thursday evening at EWTN's The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Father Murray is one half of the Papal Posse, along with Robert Royal. And they talk about tough questions and issues. Through the years, I've admired how Father Murray has the courage to say what's right, but in a very respectful way. And you, at times in the past, have questioned Pope Francis. So I'm going to ask you a tough thing now. Listening to you for years, Father, the tone has changed. In February, you wrote an article from the Catholic Thing, and you said, Pope Francis must stop the madness. So your tone has changed. Why?
Great question. And, you know, in that article, I was talking about the fact that in Germany, there are a lot of bishops, and this isn't restricted to Germany, but it's principally that's the focus of attention. There are bishops proposing that the Catholic Church change its teaching about various important topics, including the immorality of homosexual acts. They want the Catholic Church to recognize that there's such a thing as a transgender or transsexual person. In other words, someone who is a man or a woman but claims to be the opposite. And they want the Church to agree to that. They also want the Church to ordain women to the priesthood. There are different items on of the Church's teaching which are being plainly rejected by people in leadership in the Church. And sad to say, Pope Francis, while he has expressed displeasure with the German bishops, he hasn't taken effective action to stop this scandalous movement. And my call to the Holy Father and to other bishops is that we have to stop this, because the ordinary people in the pew are getting very confused. They think that the Church is on the verge of a big change of her teaching, but that's impossible. We cannot change God's truth. We can fail to recognize it, we can repudiate it, but it remains. So it's our duty as Catholics to remain faithful to what was handed down from the apostles.
We're talking to Father Gerald Murray. If you want to learn more, www.churchholyfamily.org. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Father Gerald Murray, who loves the Yankees and loved Yogi Berra. You know, the Yogiisms. One he had was, it's a funny thing about baseball fans. If they don't want to come to the ballpark, you can't stop them. And Father, if you go to a Mass other than Christmas or Easter, the young people don't come. Conversely, there's an oratory, St. Joseph's, right in downtown Detroit by the Eastern Market. It's built in 1855. It was abandoned for 35 years, and Archbishop Vigneron turned it over to an order of priests, okay, entitled the Institute of Christ the King. The priests are called canons. And Father, every Mass is the Latin Mass. And you go there on a Sunday, and there's 500 people. And if you and I went, we're like at a Taylor Swift concert. Everybody's 20, 30, 40 years, and all kids. And so the Vatican's rescript, where they're saying, you know, you can't say the Latin Mass, explain what that is, and why are they doing that?
Well, this is a source of disagreement for so many Catholics, including myself, with the decision of the Holy Father. You know, back in 2021, the Pope issued a document called Traditionis Custodes, in which he restricted greatly the ability to celebrate the Latin Mass and the other sacraments. There's been a second document called the Dubia Responses, which further made restrictions. Now there's a third document called the Rescript, and that was basically saying the local bishop cannot permit the parish sitting for the old Latin Mass. So if the old Latin Mass is being celebrated in a parish, you have to get permission from Rome to do that. So it's obviously discouraging bishops from requesting those permissions. And we know that in cases the requests have gone in, that the Rome grants a two-year permission, which isn't too encouraging, because what happens? You get back in 2 years. So, yeah, there are lots of families, lots of young people love the Latin Mass. I think it's a beautiful Mass. And I don't share the Holy Father's concern, which he's expressed, that the people who go to that Mass are a source of division, disunity in the Church. So this is an area where, with all due respect, you can tell the Pope, Holy Father, I think your restrictions are not right. I think you should change your opinion on this.
All right. A lot of people today say, if I think it's okay, it's okay. And Father, who are you to judge me, or who am I to judge anyone else?
Well, there you go. This is modern relativism. If I like it, it must be good. No, there is a difference between good and evil. There's a difference between caring for a sick person and killing the sick person. And therefore, the Church, you have an obligation to care for sick people. Your absolute prohibition to kill them. But modern relativism, people would say, oh, it's up to me. You can't judge me if I decide to kill an old person. I can't be bothered taking care of that person. This is where we are. We have euthanasia in some states in the United States already. This is terrible. This modern relativism is the death of society, because people use it to justify all kinds of bad behavior.
A lot of people think that the Catholic Church is antiquated, that its greatest days are over. Why does America and the world need the Catholic Church today?
Well, the Catholic Church represents Jesus Christ, his teaching, his sacraments, his grace. All that the Lord gave to the apostles, he gave them to be shared with all future generations in the Church. So we need the Church, and the Church herself is a beacon of truth and hope for all mankind. Now, through the history of the Church, people have broke off. That's how we have the Protestant Reformation, the Orthodox split from Catholicism. But the Church continues that mission, and we invite all people to come look at the Catholic Church, consider her claims, and then ask the serious question, where is it that Jesus Christ intended his message to be propagated? And it certainly was in the group that succeeds the apostles, and that's what the Church is.
I quote a little 4-foot-11-inch woman, I'm a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. That was the late, great Saint Mother Teresa. You met her a couple times.
Yes, it was my privilege to meet Mother Teresa when I was a college student before I entered the seminary. She was very kind and inspiring. And then as a priest, I used to say Mass for her sisters in the Bronx. And I remember one day as I entered the chapel in my vestments to start the Mass, and there's Mother Teresa in the chapel. I got to speak to her after Mass, and she said to me, be humble like Mary and holy like Jesus. Simple, beautiful, profound statement, and really a humility of Mary as our model, the holiness of Jesus, which he shares with us through his grace. I mean, that's what life is all about. If I'm humble like Mary, holy like Jesus, my life has fulfilled its purpose.
Another thing she said is, let us accept whatever he gives and give whatever he takes with a big smile. Father, I can't do that.
Well, I mean, that's, think about the baseball player in the batter's box. You know, you get a swing at it, and if you if you miss, well, you got to take that. But then you get up to the next at bat and say, Lord, let me get a hit next time. So we don't give up. We just keep moving. And God is good.
You're talking about us Cubs fans now, okay? So, all right. God is using technology. Hello. Hello, just the Hello app. Just had 40 days with Jonathan Romy, Makaliela Begiza, Jim Caviezel, Father Mike Schmitz, Sister Lucy. 3.5 million people a day listen to those things. Also, The Chosen. What are your thoughts on Hello and The Chosen?
Now, these are blessings in our age because, you know, younger people spend lots of time on social media or on their phone, their computer, their tablet. So to be able to use part of that time, and a very important part of that time, in a religious instruction and prayer mode is very important. I know from EWTN how many people use the YouTube channel of EWTN to be able to watch programs. EWTN has an app. I know how many, you know, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people use it every day. Could be more, but I mean, we have now the capability of reaching people never reached before so quickly, directly, or completely. So it's a great blessing. Now, technology can also be used by the devil. Pornography and violence and things of that sort are a big problem. But, you know, with God's grace, we can turn away from those things and embrace what is good.
As our time winds down this evening and we get ready to celebrate Easter, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Sure. Dear God in heaven, we anticipate with great love the celebration of your Son's resurrection tomorrow. Give us a spirit of gratitude for all of your blessings. Give us hope and eternal life. And give us the true charity which led your Son to not only give up his life, but to share that life with us in Holy Communion. Make us ever grateful for our faith, and may we be apostles of your love. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, even though Father Murray is a Yankee fan, thank you for giving us Father Murray and be with him each and every moment. God bless.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.